Barnsley did on that to where she was on. Okay. Then 1:30 p.m. on Monday, January 14th, we are in the conservation workshop. We have with us, in addition to Conservation Director Mike Potts and Financial Manager Jolene Van Wass. I said it right, okay. We also have a staff and three members of the Conservation Board, and also Joby Brockton with Facilities. Joby, I know you asked to go first, but I think we need to take care of something else first, okay? So the supervisors were emailed different budget numbers on Friday. I don't know about, I can't speak for the other two supervisors, but I pretty well had my weekend scheduled, and I worked a lot. I got to look at them about 40 minutes ago, okay? So, could you guys please explain to us why that we got them, but apparently the directors of the internal and external operations didn't get a set. Lisa Markley, did you get brand new numbers? Okay. And Auditor Lucy Martin, did you get brand new numbers? Okay. I feel we're going to have a very difficult discussion today. I've got fumble fingers, so going through three sets of numbers, the numbers for this year, plus the pages from last year to figure out where increases are, then this whole new batch of numbers. It's going to be very difficult. We have 2.5 hours because the Board of Supervisors has another meeting at 4 o'clock. Just want to let everybody know about what has happened. I don't know why. I don't know if any of us care at this point, but we are really going to have to move, and we may have to bring you back. That's my assessment.
Yeah, but, so absolutely. Thanks, Melissa. So can I just suggest that we utilize what was originally provided to Lisa Markley, and we count on you guys. So I view these as kind of internal worksheets that you guys have been working on, and now you're going to tell us where anything that was from what was originally turned in has changed as we go through. But I'm not expecting to refer to multiple documents. I'm expecting to refer to what's in our book, and we talk about that, and you guys talk about what changes and why we have from that today as we would normally do.
All right, and that's an option to go, like I said. I mean, we just only have 2.5 hours here. Supervisor Merkin, would you like to weigh in on this in one way or the other? Okay. All right, so I agree with Supervisor Sanders that if there's going to be any sanity in this, it probably is with sticking with the blue numbers. And also, please help us. I tried to work the summation. You tried to provide some information about past that, differences from amended budgets and last year and whatever. So we'll try to fit that in where appropriate. Okay? So let's go ahead, and Mike, I'll let you get started with whatever you want to present first.
Very good, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the comments. I am curious, though, you said you were given the report on Friday?
We received an email, all three of us, said to the supervisors. It was Friday, but I didn't have it.
I meant send that to our conservation board. All it was an update of what they saw at the December work session with salary and kind
correct
of lines.
And there's some printed in red and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to show you.
Sorry.
Okay. So we now have 2.5 hours where I think at least I'm going to be able to keep on track.
Those
okay.
The same number.
All right. And then we don't have to worry about copies for anybody else.
No.
Thank you very much.
Sorry
okay.
For that.
Okay. All right. Now, Mike, any opening statements?
Well, and I'll pose this to a question for the board's pleasure here. In the interest of everyone's time here, I'd ask you to consider the IRBM budget prior to the conservation budget. We can handle Joe and get that done and then move on to Joby.
No, Joby has an appointment, so Joby's asked.
We can do IRBM first and then do me. That works
okay
for me.
Rock, paper, scissors,
yep,
and see who wins. Okay, all right. All right, if that works for you, Joby.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Joe, let's start with the IBRM budget. Can you remind me what page it is? Thank you.
Actually, it's personally, I mean, it's...
Okay, 84 Brevin. Okay, yeah, let's hear about, oh, you have to, you're going to pull it.
Sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, just question on the drainage stuff this year. So far, we've been able to bill 9,000. You re-estimated that down to 24. You really think we're going to get in spring, but that's what it comes down to. Well, you're out cutting trees and everything right now. You really think we're going to get to 24?
I'm going to put the mic with
type of. Yeah, so we've got, this winter has been hard.
Yes.
We haven't had good ground conditions to get out into the field, but we're expecting that we can get to that budget. It's going to be tough.
Okay.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. So we've never brought in more than. What, 14? I guess we brought in 18 several years ago, but then it's gone down every year. We absolutely need to do better than that, but I don't know if, as Lisa's sitting here and thinking about our re-estimation, I don't know if 24 at this point is going to be realistic or not. And I just want to stick something in there that we think we have a chance of attaining. If it's 24, great. But if it's not, then...
It's 24 is going to be hard.
Okay.
I'll say that. In conversations that we had looked at, we ran some numbers yesterday and were pretty confident in getting to 20, to give or take 20, right, Joe? Is what
yes.
We discussed.
So I would recommend we plug the re-estimation in at 20, which leads me to the 27 that you're proposing for next year. What's it going to take? So we've never gotten anywhere close to that. What's it going to take for us to be able to get there?
Well,
probably have some stamps out there that we haven't levied. I mean, you bill it, you do the work, we pay, but it's called a stamp, and it's sitting in the treasurer's drawer until there's money for it, which means we only levy once a year. It'll be another year before the dollars get received in.
So I would love to see those numbers of what we've actually billed, because I think it's reasonable to plug in our expected revenue of what we've billed, and then it's just a matter of collecting the money. Money's going to come eventually. But I've never seen, that I'm aware of, I've never seen an accounting of what we've actually billed. So clearly we can see what's come in. But I'd like to see that at some point. And if you guys are comfortable in that 27 range, that's super. But this, so we, up till now, we've been saying, well, this is a new program and we don't really know how it's all going to fit together. Well, we can't use that excuse anymore, right? We know, this program exists. We should know what we can build.
Right. So we've got a plan of work right now for FY20 that addresses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. Right. I'm comfortable with this 27,000. That's the plan of work. And Joe and Tyler, we know that that's we've never been able to hit our revenue projections. But that is, they're comfortable with that plan of work.
So, is this kind of new information that Lisa Margaret just gave about that the revenues, you may bill out one amount, but the actual posted revenues would be lower because there's not money?
I think we're all aware of how the drainage district works as far as stamps.
Okay.
It was something that I had never put together. That what we're billing and what we're collecting, it makes perfect sense, but I had never drawn that line all the way across in my mind that what we're billing and what we're collecting are two different things. I think it's important to note we're going to collect the money. It's just a question of as soon as the drainage districts have the money, we're going to collect it. And that's where, as Scott Wall does the assessments on each one, or we do the assessment based on what Scott Wall recommends, that's when we collect the money. And I just had never gone all the way through that logically. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
So a re-estimated amount I heard suggested from Supervisor Sanders at $20,000. And then moving forward in the fiscal year, 20, you still want to stay with the 27?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Okay. Everybody good? I'm not hearing any more comments. Okay, great.
Any other questions?
And the statement in the narrative of the refurbished seat drill, that was from a year or so ago that just never got taken out, is that right? So there's that line in there, but then there's no dollar amount attached to it. Are we expecting a grant for something, or is that something from the past?
It's included in the FY19 re-estimate. There's $100 there, and then another grant from FY18 that is also in that $7,048. But it was not budgeted. It came afterwards.
All right. Joe, would you like to move on?
Sure. Yeah, the hydro seat's in there, but let's go in order.
Mark, we have to talk about equipment.
so uniforms, I wanted you to talk me through that one. We've never come anywhere close to spending that in uniforms. And so I'm just curious. I mean, we keep saying we're going to spend that, and then we never do. And so I'm just curious. You know me, I like to go more to what we really expect to spend.
I could use an interim bid.
Basically 10,000 per township, and that's on a contract basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. any problem with bringing you back up to date and taking care of it.
Sure, but the big ticket item here is the 40 by 40 cold storage. And I'm talking about
more life.
that is based on the assumption that there's a truck available coming out of secondary road rotation that, that you guys would adopt.
Mm-hmm. No. Everybody good there?
I think that's it.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Okay. Now we'll bring Josie up. Maybe you can try to share us or. Okay.
Yeah, so as you're back now there. So is there, if we don't get the grants, if we don't get the roughly one third of the value, does it cause us to rethink getting this, or is this a high enough priority that we're getting it and we're hoping the grant money's coming through?
I'd still like to move forward with it. I think, you know, we have a tremendous track record with grants from
Living
Roadway Trust Fund, and I don't really, Joe, I don't.
We
talk really
about
don't think
that. We need to go through. That would be my vote.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got pretty good odds because we're going to get that grant. And even if we don't, I still support it. I think it's time that we do it. It saves on staff time in addition to. It holds more, and so we're a new spread unit, so we're spending less time on the road between fill-ups.
Because calibration, and they say chemicals as well.
Right.
Better calibrations.
Right.
Take care of yourself, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
See you, Joe.
Thank you.
All
right.
Okay.
On
that. Okay. That'd be fun.
Like we treat the rest of our buildings.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. In that case, doesn't have anything else to do with the buildings themselves. With which, Joby, enjoy your next appointment, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Joby.
Yep.
And Mike, I assume maybe you want to go on back to page 68 or to start with revenue?
Sure.
So,
go up since you're
Joby, it is true. It's just been tremendous. The work is, I think you should all know. Good job and very responsive. So they're in the building show. It's definitely what we have out there now. It's a pretty big improvement that has years. So it's very nice there. So let me back up a little bit more here, and that is kind of an overview on our first, our expense side, and that is essentially what we're presenting here is a budget that's give or take $330,000 less than our FY19 in the budget.
Oh, amended, not original.
Amended. Yes. That has a number of so it's a lesser budget that has a number of what we think are important improvements or additions, and we'll get through those. So as we go, we've got a number of things that reflect the watershed assessment and implementation plan that's been done. It reflects some neat law enforcement programs across the board, park improvements, some ground improvements projects, and the sewer project, the Hickory Grove is reflected in that as well. So a number of things that as we go down through here that we can chat about. Overall, I'm happy that it's below the 19 method.
But isn't the 19 amended 1.8 higher than your fiscal year 19 that we talked about a year ago?
Are you talking about reestimated or amended?
Oh, sorry, reestimated. Thank you, Julie.
Okay. The reestimated is higher than the amended. This budget is about 1.3 below our reestimated. One of the things as we move forward, and we'll get into it here, but one of the things as we move forward and develop more and more projects and improvements, the more work we do, the more outside funding we get, the more capital projects that we do that go year to year. And so the more complicated tracking all these numbers is, and the more the budget fluctuates. And we see that in the reestimated, we're at a really high fluctuation.
So I would just like to talk about what was useful in the quick time I had to get through this. I went to the very bottom, and you had a comparison of fiscal year 20 to fiscal year 19 reestimated, whatever. So I think if I did my numbers right, went back through my orange and now my blue, okay, and looked at this, that actually your tax asking will be up. And I came up with $200,000 over where you originally were. So that's what, just as we go through this, I'm keeping it in the back of my mind, because I know your grants come in and grants roll over to another year and projects then come up. But maybe I did my estimate wrong, but I come up with, when you go from fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 20, comparisons on tax asking, that's a tough one to say, is I came up with $219,450 more in tax revenue. And maybe I am wrong because I interpreted these things.
Yeah.
Is that what you think, that you'll be asking for more tax dollars?
No, or less.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Okay. All right.
That's what I meant to say. Maybe I didn't say it. Our tax asking is down $328,000 from the FY19 amendment.
And then the amended, though, is not what you're actually re-estimating.
Correct. And our tax asking for a re-estimation
uh-huh. is down 1.3 million from the 19 reestimate
in
the FY20. Does that make sense?
It does, once again, make sense. But when you go back to the original, though, that's what I'm talking about. When you guys were sitting here a year ago, were you in fact asking for fewer tax dollars?
And we didn't use those numbers.
I know that. I know. Okay. All right, moving on. In the great scheme of things, I just wanted to point out that from where you were a year ago, you're asking for more tax dollars. Let's go ahead now, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, that I don't have that number. So I guess that's the overall picture of it. And then we go down through here. Let's take your pleasure. I don't need to go down line by line. If you've looked at it and have some questions and want to go by your questions, we can do it that way. Otherwise, I can take it line by line. It's your choice.
What is the board's preference? Would you like to take it for section?
Yeah, so I'd like to spend just a minute on this idea of tax asking scores and understand. I mean, that's a pretty important concept that we're talking about. And I don't think, and I haven't gone through and done the numbers except, at the top of my head right now, I don't think what you're adding up is accurate. I don't think that we're asking for more tax at any point. I don't think. When you compare back to when we sat here a year ago, or compared to what our amendment looked like, or compared to what our expectation is, I don't think tax asking are up, and I just want to get to the bottom of it.
And in your spreadsheet here, it doesn't show original approved for 19, so I'm not sure.
Right, I went back to this. So I want to let you know that in a very quick period of time, with that little calculator, as I was trying to get through all of this, thinking we would be discussing it today, and you know me, I love the summary section, okay?
Yeah.
But that's where I went from, and I went back to fiscal year 19, and I compared from the original fiscal year 19 to what we're being presented for fiscal year 20. I am certainly willing to accept that my numbers are off. I am certainly willing.
Yeah, I just think we need to spend a little more time with it because I don't know how our original expectation of grants and usage of some of those funds, how all that fit together. And you got, I mean, this is as common. It used to be the sheriff's budget was our most convoluted, and secondary roads is kind of tough. And we rapidly approach, conservation now is the most complex budget that we deal with because there's so many moving parts. And so just before we make a statement, like we're asking the people of Story County for more money, I would want us to spend a little time and really figure out whether that's accurate or not, and I don't think we're there.
Okay, and I'd be happy to have that be something that could be communicated later if everybody else is comfortable, so we don't get down in my weeds again. Okay.
Yeah, and we'd have to
Joe
go back here. We have to go back and take a look at that because I don't have the data
right
there.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
I will qualify that statement in that in my initial quick calculation, comparing apples to apples. It appeared that we okay. So back to the question for the board. Do you want to run line by line, or do you want to take just those that either we've discussed already in the CIP, then go to the topic possibly about emission watershed plans, and go by a topic as far as revenues and expenses?
So I'd like us to work.
Can we do it line by line and move through it quickly?
We'll try.
If it's discipline, if we don't have the same thing, don't say anything, if we can spend quickly, it'd help me.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
Well, and those worksheets that I didn't intend to send to you, the green represents REIT, yellow is trust fund, blue is conservation reserve, and those are not in the tax and budget. That helps us go through.
They're coded differently in your actual budget request.
That's why those tough color coding is going to keep it.
I like your color coding. It's my source of funds, and I'm having a hard time. Because you have so many funds, I'm having a hard time looking at this. I'm trying to say, where is this money coming from?
Right.
It might say fees, or it might say this and other grants, or and this, but it doesn't say how much of anything.
Yeah, so sometimes they have somewhat the same title.
So I'm lost.
So sticking them with blue, okay, all right. I know Mike is looking for his own kind of detail reference here, but all right, we're going to go line by line with discipline.
Are you revenue or expense?
Let's start with revenue.
Okay.
Oh, okay, we're on page 15. I would like to just note that revenue appears to be down 40%, and I now know this is from the re-estimated, I believe. But it looks like to me, at least on our first page in blue, a lot of that has to do with Hickory Grove, not operational.
Yeah, so our camping revenue will be down. Down this year with a limited camping season at Hickory Grove. That's the biggest reason for the that.
Sure. And that took care of page 68 if you're somewhere else. Okay. I'm going to page 71 now, which is not the narrative, but the overview. Does everybody want me to stay with the narrative instead? That you hear? Pardon? No, we were on revenues, and now we are going to expenses, correct?
You want to spend more time on revenue?
More time on revenue?
Not mine.
No, Linda, please ask your question.
Well, I thought we were going to go line by line to do it quickly. And then I...
All right,
then we started spending pages so I got a little
confused. Okay, all right. Going back to line by line. Go ahead.
So, I mean, starting at the top, very minimal change now. Through REIT and trust fund, no land rent this year, building rent, that's income that we get from the conservation center, status quo there. Let's see, miscellaneous equipment rentals, permits, etc. That stays fairly consistent. Our actuals have been a little bit higher there. So case could be made for increasing that slightly. Our 3-year average on that is 6,600 and we put in 6,000. Just stop me if you want me to
give them
a budget. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. FEMA. So we are re-estimating some FEMA expenses every year. I think that you're all familiar with that. We get 85% of our costs back, and so we have to locally fund the balance 15%. Tomorrow, we've got a public hearing to consider maybe some bids for part of Iowa repair that's FEMA related. So we expect we'll be at their bids come in as 85% of that back. And so this is that 85%. What's represented? REIT funds, that's been fairly status quo. That's a shot in the dark because that is completely dependent on what the state legislature appropriates to the REIT program every year. This year, they appropriated $12 million, took $2 million of that $12 million for in-house fees through DNR. So it reduced our the per county per capita amount. But we hope that they at least keep that $12 million this year. But that 28.7 is based on a $12 million appropriation. Other state grants. So this shows a number of things. This shows the fish habitat grant that we applied for at Hitchinville Park. This is 90% of the cost associated with the expenses of that grant. 46% it shows a grant for 75% of our costs for the work share program. It shows $500,000 grant we received for the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail paving, which is phase one, hopefully it's later. It shows some $40,000 for another fish habitat grant that we have applied for. And it shows a small wildlife diversity grant that we've been getting for a number of months. Questions on those grants? Other state grants, we've got in the re-estimated, we've got $468,000 That was a REIT grant we received for Tedesco. And so that's part of the reason why that was not in our original budget. And so that's part of the reason why our FY19 amended and the S&P is much higher on the expense side as well. And then,
conservation. What is what's the balance in front of conservation right now?
No, point some. I have it here.
Friends of Conservation right now has $886,000 in it. After the proposed budget, they're not proposing to spend anything. They are going to have a little over $1 million.
Is this the one that is not with the Greater Iowa, Greater Des Moines?
Yeah, no.
Foundation.
This
is the other one. Okay. I just want to ask Supervisor Sanders. I know I referred some information to you about that money that's still at the Greater Des Moines Foundation. It was from the old partners, correctly, at one point. I just wondered if anyone had looked into that yet.
Yeah, in light of what?
In light of on another board I sit on, is starting this foundation, and the gentleman who came to advise the HRDA board afterwards, I mentioned something. Well, he said something to me, oh, you're from Story County, and he's aware of the money, and he says we can get it out, that there is a way to get it out. And I'm assuming the last time anyone talked to the foundation and went through this from the legal department might have been Jessica Reynolds when she went in civil. It sounds like there's been no conversation on it for a while, but this gentleman who is one of the people who runs the Greater Des Moines Partnership Foundation, whatever that particular one is, said, no, I know how you guys can get that money out. And since Supervisor Sanders sits as the ex officio on your board, I just didn't wonder if in fact there's money out there for it.
Okay. Yeah, that
I don't know.
And right now, I don't have an exact figure on that, but that balance on that account is somewhere around $20,000 to $25,000. And I won't get into all the history with that. We are receiving dividends on that now.
Oh, we are now.
We're getting the dividend, which is just shy of $1,000 a year that we're receiving. And we started receiving that, say, a year ago in that neighborhood. So you're right, this is a question that's been round and round between the Greater Des Moines Foundation and our legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And the resolution at the moment is to just keep taking the dividend. The Story County Community Foundation is happy with that. Because now we're honoring donor intent. For a number of years, nothing was happening to that money, so there was concern about people gave to this, and we can't use it. So, at the moment, I think everything's fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk about the camping income. Boat rental income, obviously, in the lake, we're not going to have any boat rental income. Lodge rental is going to be down as well. Other recreational fees, those are concession fees that we get from operating the beach house and stuff that we won't have any revenue there.
I do have a question just about the Dakin Lake. Lending fees, $50,000, we're on target for this year, huh?
We have to
Okay, thank you.
$7,000, which is for the most part consistent with FY19. These are going to get donations that come in throughout the year. They may be memorials. This is a trust fund that was established a number of years ago for annual donations as part of distributions from their farm income. And then it's our membership program that feeds into this account as well. So that's $127,000. Fireworks sale is down a little bit, reflect the same TNT. You would have the rest of the Highway Speed section. Any questions on
So
on the expense side, first off, salaries. You would see that we are requesting the addition of two FTEs here. One of them is to support the watershed implementation matrix, and one of them is to support field operations.
Does the board want to discuss, have a preliminary discussion on the watershed right now, or do you want to wait until we've gone through the whole list of expenses and we talk about the request for the two staff apps at the end?
Your call.
Okay, I'd like to just address it, especially the watershed coordination one. I feel that in asking for this position is premature because the board has not decided how we're going to handle watershed. We have not determined if we want to have watershed implementation overseen or done by an internal staff person or whether we want to contract it out. In fact, I'm going to take even a step back from that. All we've done is in December, we took a look at the implementation, the initial implementation, and clearly at the top of that, it said the board has to discuss its philosophy. What do we want to do? Where are our priorities? Who would oversee that? We have a committee with four people on it. I don't believe the committee of those four people have discussed it, and there's a possibility maybe we want to have our committee go back and give us additional, I'm just saying, recommendations. I definitely think we need to add at least one person, our environmental health person, to that committee if we're going to keep it activated to help us advise a little further. And for that, I'm not sure where it was decided that that you would ask for this position, but in my mind, we, as a board, have not had the important conceptual discussions and philosophical. We also have a new board member who's come on who has expressed great interest in watershed and hasn't even had an opportunity to lay on to that. So for all of those reasons, I'd like to take us into a watershed discussion in a regular board meeting.
Yeah, and so I agree with most of what you just said there, Boris. I think the only parts I don't agree with are that this request to initiate a conversation about what we're going to do, that it is somehow misplaced. I think if you're saying that now it's not time to make the decision and we need to do a lot more investigation and decisions by this board how we're going to go forward before we approve anything, I think that's exactly right.
Correct.
I just don't believe that it was inappropriate or mistimed at all for the request to come forward to us to initiate this conversation. And then the second thing that I'm not sure I'm convinced of, and I hope we can have a board conversation, is that our environmental health director needs to be part of that watershed group, just because I don't see the overlap in her defined responsibilities with what that watershed, I understand her interest in it, I just don't see the overlap in it. And I'm with you if you're saying we want to have the full conversation, and we're not ready for a decision yet. I'm all in. I just think it's appropriate for conservation, who we charged when we had that joint meeting, we charged, and I'm going way back, we charged each one of our our departments to take a look at what would be necessary to implement these things, not committing to them by any stretch of the imagination, not committing to the mechanism we were going to use, but what would it look like through your area if we were going to achieve some of these things. And I would say that conservation has come back with two components for us to look at. One is a staff position, and one is a contract position for other components, and I hope we're going to have a similar conversation on both.
I don't remember charging them, but other than that, I think you and I are basically on the same track. Okay. So, yes.
If I may, as past chair of the conservation board, this was a board decision. Didn't come from staff. Staff didn't mention it, but this was a board decision. The board took the watershed assessment very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. But this is really progressive. For Story County, for the first county in the state to ever done a countywide watershed assessment. Other counties where I've talked to about this have said, wow, this is pretty incredible. You're not waiting for the state or the federal folks to be telling no, we're taking action right here. And so we're very supportive of that. And when we took a look, very serious look at the implementation matrix, I highlighted all the things that for which Story County and Conservation is the responsible party. Granted, there are other parties on there, but we're the responsible party, and it made sense to me to think to the rest of the board, I know the rest of the board, that looking at current staffing, both their expertise and what they already have in their place, we don't have the ability to do all the things in here that we're responsible parties for doing. So I think our suggestion was, let's put it in the budget, and because that's, it's going to take, a full-time position to really do justice to these people. It doesn't mean that we won't also have a need to contract some of
that. You say we, because there's an assumption that conservation, and maybe I'm hearing wrong, because I mishear sometimes. So, okay, thank you. Okay, because I think that's probably where it's
right.
So, I think other than that, maybe chiming on that, but certainly the rest of it, we all, would you like to weigh in?
Possibly.
Okay, go for it. Okay, thank you. I've got that look. Okay.
I'm glad to hear that conservation is so interested in it. And I think we are going to need to have that throughout Story County government, because yes, a lot of it does relate to conservation, what conservation is doing. I see things in that assessment that apply to the engineer's office for secondary roads.
Sure.
I see things that apply to lots of other parts of county government. One struggle I've had in thinking about this is how we make sure to keep all of those parts of county government involved. One of my concerns have been if position is seated in one department, does it then become that department's position, that department's responsibility, and everybody else is kind of saying, well, conservation is taking care of that. We don't have to think of it. I want to think about how we strategically do this so we have buy-in from all the departments in the county who have a part to play in this. And I don't know where that goes yet. I was hoping that the committee was looking at that issue, and we haven't heard from the committee yet. I'm not offended that conservation put it in there. I'm glad to see that there's some department that's saying, hey.
We want to move forward.
I appreciate that. But I think we need to think strategically about how we don't just make it conservation problem to solve.
And I think that's an excellent point. I think that's one that the committee recognized in developing the implementation plan, and why I think the first thing on there, aside from the regulatory, was establishing that working group. And that's the cross of the department working group that is involved in all of this water.
And I haven't had time to put the job description. Did you put that together?
Yes.
Yeah, I know it's in here. I just haven't had time to get to that yet. I'm having trouble getting it.
Frankly, just the mechanism we tell departments to
you.
I understand that.
And I mean, I know what you're saying, but I also know that this gives them the opportunity to bring it forward, and then you know, you guys go from there as far as.
What I was going to say is I'm glad to see a job description, even though I haven't really looked at it yet, because that will give us some the committee and all of us, you know, something to look at and say, is this what, you know, you need to start someplace and say, is this what we want? Does this solve the problem that assessment has become?
Yeah, and I'd just like to make 2 points along that line, Linda, so appreciate what you're saying, but please understand that conservation is not looking at the total assessment. They're looking at the components within the assessment that were identified, which is where I said that we charge them, that were identified as conservation responsibility, and what they've come forward with is not a comprehensive plan to deal with the whole thing. So this is not a whole lot different, as I see it, from the conversation that Story County had 25 years ago about information technology, when that was just getting going. There was a major conversation for Story County then. Would each department and office have its own IT person, or would there be one comprehensive way to take care of IT? At that time, Story County chose to go down the road of one place for IT, and we've seen it mostly work, but we've also seen some issues within that. This very clearly is the start of a proposal that says each area that's identified as having primary responsibility for any item would take its responsibility, and I think that's part of the full conversation that we need to have, but I don't want us to get confused that somehow conservation is suggesting, hey, we want to take this whole thing. All conservation is suggesting we want, this is what we believe it would take to do our parts of this thing as it's identified.
And I did not understand
okay.
that,
yeah.
So I thank you for...
Right.
You know, because what that means is there's other departments like secondary roads, we're going to figure out how they do their part. But then what we're also going to have to do, if we do that department by department as a watershed, you know, manager, coordinator, whatever, how do those folks coordinate?
Correct.
And
all of
that. Is that there's somebody else who's kind of above them, or we bring them together? And then we have to see how much resources will we have to devote to it.
100%. But... We don't necessarily have to have every answer before we take our first step. But we need to be dealing with all of this, but what our conservation board has done is what our conservation board has traditionally done over years and years and years, and that is really be forward thinking and really be willing to take that first step, make that first proposal, and to me it doesn't mean that we're excluding anything else. It also doesn't mean that we're saying, hey, we've got to have every answer before we do anything.
Okay, and I'll meet you in the middle and back the middle just as forward, because already on the January 29th agenda, sorry, the supervisors, and I did let Mike know that there will be a discussion. I want to start this discussion. We need to. So I see how Mr. Genesco.
I think just as an additional comment, if you're looking... Today's the first day of the legislative session in Iowa. Congressional, if you look what's on their table, there are many, many issues involving our streams and rivers and clean water. That's a priority with conservation, and we're going to be asked to do a lot of those programs coming down from those places to put into practice on the ground. And I think we're trying to anticipate that with this request.
Okay, and I appreciate that. We started the conversation and certainly at a focal point. And we'll, on the 29th, discuss a little bit more, at least of the county, where we want to go with philosophy, right? That's where we're maybe starting now on this conversation a little bit further. And you can just tell from the difference between two supervisors about whether there's the Maryville Health should be involved. I know the Board of Health is talking about wanting to weigh in the future on the health perspective of water quality, as an example. Okay, so I understand what you're saying. Okay, Supervisor Merkin.
That's fine.
All right, fine, or do you have more to say?
I think we've started the discussion.
Okay, all right.
And that's good.
Okay.
So, all right. But we will have a staff report prior to the 29th.
Well, okay, so my... my thoughts had been in trying to initiate this on the 29th is asking the staff to get together again, the people who are appointed, and possibly reach out to other departments to ask for ideas about this. And Supervisor Merkin, if you, it's an interest of yours, a high priority, would you like to meet with staff and know kind of help guide that, or is it better to not have a supervisor there? I'm asking anybody, throw anything open.
I think if you have a supervisor on, no, I don't think the supervisor should be on it.
All right. Okay. All right, so then is everybody fine with me asking that work group to get back together again?
Somewhere, so that direction be given at the January 29th Board of Supervisors meeting.
I believe Supervisor Merkin is hoping for at least some more suggestions at January 29th. Am I accurate on that?
I'm not doing the progress, because I think we need to get moving and keep moving and have some back and forth about it. I'm
okay,
and if that's too soon for the committee, I would, you know, I would say let's wait till the committee is ready to report, but let's get some. I we have a chance to have a work room.
Sure.
And so our problem is budgetary timeline constraints. And if there are things that we're going to do in FY20 that have budgetary implications, like, for example, a position or a contract, we have to get that figured out in the next 3 weeks in order to be able to have a budget published that we can work from. And that is why we're bumping up against this idea of we're going to have comprehensively every answer prior to making initial decisions, unless our decision is no.
Well, I'm going to come back to the decision being I was hoping to come out of the 29th was just what would be next steps for the staff to get together. Now, with Supervisor Merkin asking that staff be prepared for an update, if I understand this correctly, and I saw Leanne Harder kind of shaking her head in the back also, okay, is that you... The committee that had been formed so far gave us what they had, and they haven't met since. That was at December 18th, okay, that when we took a look at that watershed implementation matrix. So if we push the discussion out another week to February 5th, because we are under time constraints here, and did a callback on possibility of staff, one option would the committee be able to meet to take a little bit deeper look to come back to the board about what their recommendations are for handling the watershed activities projected in the first year of the implementation. We looked at about $86,000 of cost, correct, in what you brought the staff records at December 18th.
I believe that is the portion represented in the conservation budget. I believe that there is some other piece in other budgets.
So $86,000 in conservation, but then there would be some other in other departments. All right. So then we're looking at if it's pushed out. We have kind of a recommendation that from that working group about, and we need to make those next steps, their decisions on those very quickly. So I've never anticipated having this whole thing solved. What I have anticipated is that before we hired or made a decision to go to a contract, that the board would have a decision, would have a discussion, and hopefully reach at least some clear guidance for the staff.
So, yeah, are you the person that should be asked when you think recommendations can be given to this board?
I guess kind of de facto. I'm going to be blunt. I think for what we were directed by the board last August, we fulfilled that request.
Correct. So we have a meeting. Right.
Or recommendations.
And there was no one appointed at that time in August to lead this group of four people. It was, because I'd asked about who would be the logical person to kind of take carrying it forward. And instead, the consensus of the board at that time was to send the four people into without a true leadership designation. So, no, but we need to, Supervisor Sanders, right, I know it's hard to be formal at the board table, but Supervisor Sanders, in that we have to make some kind of budgetary decision.
We're scheduled to be done with our budget work, including callbacks. Right now, we're scheduled to be done on January 28th. It doesn't mean we have to be. So the real timelines that we're bumping up against are February 19th, we got a staff meeting and we're handing everything out to our department heads and elected officials. And a couple of days after that, we need to get everything published. But it's not as simple as we make a decision on the 17th in order to be able to hand it out on the 8th. And in the past, And every board's got to do it the way every board does it, but in the past, this has been the facilitator of the initial conversation. We have that initial conversation and make a budgetary decision for FY20, and the budgetary decision tells you what the expectation is of what we're going to get accomplished, if anything.
I would recommend, if it would be agreeable to the other two of you, that we know we're going to do something in 2020, fiscal year 2020. So putting in, I believe the word that you used is swag, all right, but that we put in enough money for a watershed coordinator and some extra, plus what we think will need to be done if it's an outside contract or internal, or it all goes to an outside contract. From a budget standpoint, we can reserve that amount of funds. And am I not correct on that? I'm looking at Ms. Markley.
I guess one of the things that typically we do is we say, no, this is the priority we want to. When I come back to you guys, that's not for everybody's budget. We need to put dollars in for different things like this or whatever. We can talk about it at that point in time and say, okay, so where are we going to go for this? Where are we going to go for that?
And can we designate it under the Board of Supervisors under countywide until the final decision is made which department might be taking the budgetary lead or being the assimilated, if you will, but can we put it under countywide, not have to put it into the conservation budget?
And move it later.
We buy the service area, so yes,
As long as it qualifies in both places, and in this case it would. I mean, it's coming out of general fund dollars.
So let's pull it up. We can pull all the monies together, if it makes sense, as we look at the budget and put it in the Board of Supervisors, the countywide, and then as the policy decisions are made, then we decide where it's, if the contract is going back to other departments or where. And then we really have the policy driving the decision, not the calendar.
I think that's great. Then we take it out of the budget here, okay?
And we make some nothing against.
It's not in the budget here.
Not the payroll, but I heard
the money. Position is requested. Is requested, but it's not reflected anywhere in here.
I understand that. Itch was a broader itch in that the implementation of dollars that we looked at in December, the 86,000 or whatever that was pulled those out of the conservation budget, moved to countywide. Or where but take them out of yours. And if there are other dollars in other departments, let's take them out of them also, specifically designated for watershed. We put it in countywide.
I think we talk about it when we get to wherever he's talking about the 86,000.
Sure.
I don't know specifically where that's at right now.
Okay. we don't want to hear it. Just in case.
So, yeah, so just, to, I think it's been said here, but, you know, what's brought forth in this budget is what's identified with where Storytown Conservation is the responsible party or co-responsible party. And so that's what we brought forward, nothing else in this budget, which is the some portion of what I believe the whole countywide picture is just over $97,000.
Okay, so that would be the amount counting, not counting staff, the position itself or a contract.
Correct.
Okay, and so you've got 70.
No, that does count contracts.
It does, okay. So we know that by the time we're done going through everything, we're looking at about 97,000 being assigned at least to countywide for budgeting purposes at this point. Right? And then we'll find where it is in here, correct, for viewers and figure out how much we need to do. That probably is going to be a direction to staff to have to. And I see Leanne's whispering to someone.
Some of the ones are out. The ones that fall under the board of supervisors are already under countywide.
Okay, so we've already got them in there, so we'll move out. Okay, are we agreed that that's how we're going to handle this so we can move forward, take care of our budgetary, stay on track with the budget, and still then we can go back later and make those policy decisions?
Okay.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion on
Okay, and you asked for another position. Will you tell us about the field technician position?
Yeah, so this is split position. I guess I shouldn't say split position. It's a position that has duties primarily split between our TREMS program and our natural resources. Both of those are areas for a number of years have made arguments for justifications for additional labor on their own merits. We're not quite there to say that we need to do two. What we're looking at is a way to combine those two needs into one position that supports our overall gym, our overall operations program, park management program. A number of years ago, we started putting more and more resources into our, when I say resources, I mean our time and our money, but putting resources into our trails program because that is one of the primary ways that we interact with the public and provide recreational opportunities to trails. We have had a long-standing trails committee and has been a very active committee. Do a lot of trail improvements for us, a lot of volunteer time for our trails. As we move forward with the projects we've already talked about as far as trail improvement projects, maybe some shining some light on different portions of our trail network, you know, it just really becomes clear to us that we're not really scratching the surface very well in what we could be offering in terms of trails. I'm not saying necessarily more and more trails. I'm saying giving the trails we have the attention that they need. Trails, and I'll be blunt here, trails have traditionally been the backseat child of our program. I'm being very blunt with saying that. You know, when we hired Ryan on as park superintendent, Ryan brought a lot of energy with it and kind of coalition building around some trails. And we just know that we're not doing our current trails justice with the amount of resources that we can give them. We've got a number of, like I said, it's one of the primary ways that we interact with the public. And we get, countless, I hesitate to use the word complaints, but I'll use it anyway, about our trails the condition of our trails. So we try to assign our staff resources where we need. So we make improvements, we capitalize, we leverage volunteer support, we have trails work days, we get volunteers out for. But in the end, we put this forward because we think we're not meeting the need that we should be with our trails program.
I can touch on that just briefly. So we start with a little bit of reaction to the trail. If something happens, we can probably walk on that. After the fact, the public expectation, and obviously, Surrey County Conservation, we want to hold those trails to a higher standard, we need more uniform oversight, more uniform maintenance, more uniform on our trails to provide safe and quality experience for users.
Uniform you're talking about as the generic uniform, not uniform people out there patrolling.
Correct.
Just want to make sure. Okay.
So, with that, as Mike mentioned, our training has been growing, along with that is the expectation of the public. How are we going to trail safety to update signage, wayfinding signage, trail use signage, again, the huge issue. As we continue to grow and develop our trail program and the amount of trails that we maintain, especially partners help us do that. So to do that, what we do is part of my position is over here on field operations. So I review, along with Mike and the director, that help me complete what we're accomplishing from a resource perspective and a health perspective. And we created a plan to accomplish those priorities, our priorities that have to do with our strategic plan. Issues to think about how do we accomplish that? What is the mechanism to do that? So I want to make sure first that we reflect existing resources to pull up our building. Where does that go? And if we feel that there's a gap there that can be accomplished with this division. So that's where the staff has to come from. So we have a strategic partnership plan to accomplish our
priorities. Thank you. All right. I just want to point out that this is this position request, while it shouldn't be viewed as the end at all, it in fact is the culmination, the first culmination of conversations that started a half dozen to 7 years ago between board of supervisors and the conservation board about our entire conservation program and the reality that there was a real desire, a joint desire between the then board of supervisors and the conservation board to grow our offerings to the public, to impact quality of life, to start to grow in terms of amount of land that we own and manage, the amenities that are offered and the contact points with our citizens. And it was, and so the two primary examples of that are Davis Lake and Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor. But there was recognition between the then Board of Supervisors and the Conservation Board that we couldn't just continue to do more and more and more with the same amount of resources put into it. And there was recognition that ultimately, as we got, and it started with the creation of the position that Ryan assumed and kind of the restructuring underneath, that we were going to eventually need more staff. This looks to me, and if I'm misstating this, you got to tell me, this looks to me like the foray into that addition of staff with the understanding that there's not one specific spot that we have full-time work that's necessary, so you guys got creative and pulled in multiple things in order to be able to create that first full-time position. And I don't know if my numbers are right or not right on this, but I think we're up about a third over the last 5 or 6 years in terms of number of acres that we operate. And then if you look at number of contact points we have, Dakin's Lake, the reality of what we added in Dakin's Lake and what we're going to add in Tilk, a huge focus on dealing with more members of the public utilizing our services. Now, maybe I've misstated all of that, but that's how I view this request.
Correct.
Correct.
Supervisor Martin, did you want to weigh in now?
I'm just looking at the job description. I And I wonder how much this, the natural resource part overlaps with the fixed position. Identifies and makes principles of implements management techniques, performs vegetation management. I mean, there's
some of that is very similar.
But he doesn't do anything, any work.
Of course, we all work together. First off, IRBM and conservation. Of course, we work together. Mm-hmm. However, Joe's responsibility, and I think that it's justifiably all of his time, needs to go into the IRBM program and the drainage ditch program. So we have in our natural resources, essentially in our natural resource program, we've got within the whole department, we've got our roadside biologists, we've got our natural resource specialists, and then we have essentially all of our field staff who have portions of natural resource management under their purview. And so that's the team with which we accomplish resource work. And so Ryan's been doing a fabulous job at integrating that team more throughout the whole department. And so what we're seeing here, again, a little bit of a shift maybe in identifying what the resources we are we can put into it for staff time from different bodies, but ultimately with the goal of using our natural resource specialist as someone that kind of oversees and provides some guidance for our research program, but yet doesn't get out in the field, per se, all the time to do some of that work. And I make an analogy of hiring a surgeon to trim a finger. I know that's a gross exaggeration, but our natural resource specialist is someone that's highly skilled in resource management and should be at that planning level and at the level of looking at things strategically and making priorities, et cetera. Not necessarily should spend all of that person's time field pulling garlic mussels or whatever it may be. And so we've noted over the years in our resource program that we're not accomplishing everything that we set out to accomplish. We're just not getting it done. And so we think that this is a new innovative approach to how we get that done. And to add this person on to assist in that resource demand that we all know is there, and at the same time help the trails component. And so I think this is a win-win for both of those aspects of our program. And yet, I think it's a responsible way as we move forward to not just add, like Rick said, one body here and one body here. I think that together, this is a better approach.
Okay. I buy into this. If there's nothing worse than us spending taxpayer dollar to create new areas, to acquire new areas, to maintain, and then we don't maintain them. I had to look back and make sure it was a technician. You were talking about the specialist. I'm thinking, well, this is a tech job. Somebody who's actually going to do some of this work. So I do understand that this would be essential to continuing to deliver what we've already got. Trails don't mow themselves. I'm good with having this put into the budget. If this would be the appropriate time for direction to add it,
we have to approve a budget position in a
open meeting.
An open meeting, and generally the way we have handled that in the past, it would be Mike and Alyssa that would come to us to talk it through, make a recommendation, and then the board would act on it. I think that's the way we've handled
that's
it.
That's how we
did it.
That's
typically what happens in the budget work session. Board, whatever the next Tuesday board meeting, so they usually put it on the agenda.
Okay.
Board
or
there's it.
Sometime before the
meeting. Yeah, it doesn't have to be next week.
As long as we know that's the right.
So appropriate for us to decide to build it into the budget sitting right here. It's just not appropriate for us to formally approve it.
Okay. And with these positions, there are a few more steps that just work.
approving. There are always a few more steps to this. All right. So I'm on board with the concept of us going forward to take us through the steps. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Moving on down. Then.
And any extra time, you don't have to every expense to go down, but once where there's something missing, be
sure
that's what I'm looking at. And
perfect.
Well, I guess that's all I would consider significant.
How about Mike, take us next to those areas, not only that may have increased significantly in cost, also physical, your physical plans, what you've got built in the CIP.
Okay, so and I know we want to identify the watershed pieces too. So
right. Okay.
Going down to the next one there is on 223. Environmental education supply.
Mm-hmm.
We've got $10,000. That the implementation matrix calls for as far as erosion control, stormwater management outreach.
Mm-hmm.
That is a result of this matrix. So that's a watershed piece, water quality piece.
Thank you. So then the amount still out of your budget estimated for a re-estimated expense then of the 53 would go down 10,000, or would it be fiscal year 20 that would go down?
So,
yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're on page 78 of my general fund dollars. There's three environmental education supply line items there, which is confusing.
Okay, yes. All right, thank you.
Oh, one of them is REAP, one of them is general fund, one of them is REAP, and one of them is
conservation.
Okay. Okay. So it's in the 54,980.
Correct.
That is from general fund dollars.
Thank you.
In FY20 budget.
Okay. Questions about that? Next, moving down for significant pieces. Which means that moves us in my mind down to 294. Which we'd like to have some direction from the board on.
Uniforms
and equipment.
Okay.
We got a new request there for radios, and that is with the countywide upgrade when and if that's needed. We put it here not knowing exactly when that was going to be necessary. So if you think it's appropriate, we'd like to keep it here. Otherwise, it can wait until we're ready to unveil the whole program countywide.
We can leave it in here for now unless I'm going to think of a different reason, but the discussion will happen, we think, within weeks. Is that not correct, Director Sanders? As we discuss about what we may or may not bond for as we move forward.
Yeah, so what I heard this morning was that it's coming forward on the 22nd. From the county attorney to start us through the bonding process. I'll just tell you how I view these for every one of our areas. And I think it's appropriate that you guys would put these in the budget. I would like to take them out of the budget for now because I believe that ultimately when Story County makes the decision that we're building that system, we're also making the decision that we're going to supply the necessary equipment to our staff that needs the equipment. Now, I think it's important. So Deb's had conversations with some of our department heads who currently utilize radio systems, I think, in secondary roads and facilities.
Observation.
about who wants to continue to use the radios. And in my mind, what we need to come to is we need to know how many radios Story County total needs, including conservation, the sheriff, what we're doing with emergency, or a portion of what we're doing with emergency management, if we're combining with the other two major entities. And so, so this, and that's where the difference between the $1.5 million and the $3 billion has come in. The second $1.5 million for equipment, in my mind, would handle this $39,000, and it's the reason I'm suggesting that this wouldn't go in any of our individual budgets for next year, because we would handle it ultimately out of that bonding. But I think it's completely appropriate that we're hearing how many conservation would need.
And that, you know, I remember from a conversation that for radio cost is going to be higher. The system, they'll be better radios, so
right.
Better system will have higher cost for radio. That's why we're really looking at saying, are you really using them? Do you really need them?
Correct. And that's, and the second part of that conversation is, Linda, what would, so if we don't have all our staff that has radios, that currently have radios, what are we doing in the event of a emergency that we need that those staff members to have radios? So that it's kind of two sides of the coin, having, yes, reduce how many radios we have and who's daily carrying radios, but then when we need them to have radios, where are they coming from?
And so, Deb, you're handling that part of it for counts and keeping track of everything as we move forward with these discussions.
I don't know that I would, as Deb answered that, that's not what I believe Deb's doing. I believe Deb's been talking to the different areas that currently have radios about it's time for decision points on you. What are you going to ask for from the board? And I think we're going to see that in our budget work session.
So that's back to what you have in here, is that what would we see from that? Supervisor Sanders, who is taking lead on this project, which I think is very appropriate considering all the work that he's already put into it and how delicate and complicated this is. Okay, so what you're recommending now is we take out the $39,450 from their budget because we are likely to be doing some type of other funding for it. Via either bonding or countywide or whatever. That's what you're hearing.
That's what I'm recommending, but it's up to you two, because that is a philosophical decision that what we would be saying, if we leave it in this budget, we're saying, okay, it's each department or office's responsibility to figure out where, how they're buying it and come to us. I'm suggesting we want to say, if we're putting in this system, we're also going to buy the equipment necessary to access the system and provide it, and then, so for conservation, it will become conservation's responsibility to ultimately budget for replacement of those things down the road, but we're giving them, we're giving all our areas a turnkey system to join the new system.
Thank you, sir. Second scenario.
Right. Well, that's what I'm suggesting that we do.
That we pay up front, we pay for the first radio.
And we take them out of the individual budget and county.
Okay. All right. And I also concur, I always kind of made that assumption, especially when we look at what may have to happen to the township, the truth. So, yeah, and that's fine with us. We don't really care how it gets split up here. But what I do want to say is, you know, we have a discussion about other departments and what their needs for the radios might be, and that's completely germane. I think for us, we to have 100% interoperability with the sheriff's office. And so these radios just represent our law enforcement need. That is the only need that's represented here. We have other interdepartment communications, which frankly these days are mostly cell phones. And so, but this is just our law enforcement. And unfortunately now with the cost of these radios, we've got four officers and you're looking at roughly $10,000 per officer, which includes the mobile and the portable, so the car radio and the handheld radio. So it's expensive. And then this does put a handheld radio in for the director as well.
Which seems to be, given our recent KubeCon experience, seems to be reasonable. So I'm going to come back just to follow up on just so. If you're not keeping the list, you're just kind of helping coordinate about what everybody may need, and at some point maybe talking to us about our needs too.
Well, I'm facilitating the discussion in relation to the budget.
So I get Arkansas responding.
But she made sure they're getting in the budget.
Right. All right. But we have no one who will coordinate down the road yet. We haven't just appointed anyone. Thank you very much. All right. So you're buying some guns?
So, yeah, the next item, speaking of law enforcement, and quite frankly, this request has come forward for a number of years now to do this, and I haven't felt the need to want to move forward. Every year I feel a little more justification for doing that. Frankly, we can't meet the potential force for force when we have to deal with active shooters, and our officers are equipped with handguns, and that's the only essentially they also have chemical deterrents and a few other things, but tasers. We can't meet, when it comes to an active shooter scenario now, which we're seeing one more, we're not prepared to assist that. We're not prepared to meet that. This is something that I feel and the Conservation Board feels is appropriate now. Unfortunately, commentary of where we are in society, that we need to have our officers who are out there fully comparable with our sheriff's office to have that capability. And so currently, we do not have long guns in our program. But this would be the assault type platform rifle. Any other law enforcement that the county has, including our sheriff's office.
In the event that we would be called out to help in an active shooter situation, I understand time response is a factor, but does not the sheriff's department have other guns that they supply that they could provide for you to keep at the conservation center? But I look at long guns, I'm thinking to myself, I was thinking more to put down to gamble. That's what I think of with conservation. You're looking for these if you are called up in reserve to handle an active shooter situation, and you're looking for a high-powered responsive weapon that will put out ammunition quickly as opposed to what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so we're not looking at this as a potential that we might be called out in reserve. We're looking at this as a potential that we've got an active shooter situation either in one of our parks or in an area where we are a primary responder. Whether we are the official responder or whether we are assistant to sheriff's office, which we do on a regular basis, we want to be prepared for those situations. And so I feel like in order to be prepared, we need our officers to have these in their vehicles in order to respond in a timely manner. Does that make sense?
I'm hearing the validity. It makes logic. Logical. So they be in the car, just like the deputies carry.
Correct.
Right.
So this is a public recording. I'd ask us to be really careful talking about law enforcement operation, where things are stored and how they're stored. I'm thinking of vehicles specifically. But I just want us to be really, really careful. I think you're on a great track. I get nervous when we start talking about where things are at any given time.
Okay, I'm going to make a generalization, Mike.
Thank you.
That you may be in a situation where you don't have time to call in the sheriff's office. You don't have time to go someplace and arm yourself. You don't have time to go come here and borrow something from the sheriff's office, whatever. You need to have a quick response. That's what you're needing.
We need to be capable of responding to all situations performing our law enforcement.
Right.
Have you had serious incidents in your parks in the last couple years?
Yeah, I went to part of a high-speed pursuit last year where he was involved with the one-to-one fire. Okay. He got the vehicle and informed you in the middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. So myself, along with the sheriff's office, deputy, I was in pursuit. At the end of the pursuit, I was really beautiful. We got out and surrounded the field. At that point, I'm a standing target on a gravel lane with a handgun that does not have the capability for distance and effectiveness.
I think incorrectly, traditionally, we have tended to view our park rangers as park rangers who also have a law enforcement component. And I believe that in recent years, the conversation has shifted that these are law enforcement officers who are responsible in our park system. And so I want to encourage this board right now. We have just heard a recommendation that we have law enforcement officers in this community that don't feel like they have the necessary capabilities to fulfill their duties. And I would say this about the $12,000 for these long guns. I feel the same way about this that I did when the sheriff came forward and said it was time for a new platform for his officers. That's not a let's put it in the budget and let's wait until 2020 to get it done. I think if we feel like we're asking our law enforcement officers to go out there and they don't feel like they are adequately equipped, that we find the $12,000 and we find it right now and we do it in this fiscal year and we pull it out of next year's budget.
Okay. Kind of with a, do you have in mind your budget to do it this year? Well, we can allocate.
We're going to have to amend our budget.
Same
thing that we talked about with the sheriff. This is one of those items that, from my perspective, if Linda and Laura's agree, that we get this handled and we get it handled as soon as reasonably possible to get it handled. And we'd love it if we could, when we get toward the end of the year, we can absorb it in this year's budget. And if we can't, we go find the dollars to get that done. I don't know if you were on the board yet when we spent the dollars for the new handgun platform for the sheriff, but that's exactly the conversation that we had. I think it's appropriate then. I think it's appropriate now.
Yeah, I
think if our officers need equipment to feel like they're adequately equipped for what we're asking them to do, I think we get it done.
We've been working with our sheriff's office. So we have their support.
I understand, right? You know, I was so impressed when I found out the law enforcement background that you had to go through. It's just kind of depressing to know we've come to this. Okay, thank you.
All right, so just to be clear for me, we're pulling the 39.4 for the radios out. We're pulling the 12,000 out. We're pulling the 2,100 out. We're going to take the 39.4 is the responsibility of the Board of Supervisors as we talk through the new 911 system. The 12,000 and the 2,100 is let's get properly equipped and we'll figure out how to make the budget whole at the end of the year.
Okay.
Lisa, you're good with that. Same process we followed.
Yeah, we're going to go to the request next year of 6,000 and we're re-estimated at 20,000.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. You can't stop me if I'm moving past something.
I'd like to go to 411 with marketing very quickly. You've got a projected expense increase in marketing. I assume that's, what you tell me? I'm going to assume, can you tell me where you feel that increase will be?
Sure. So we've got a few items here. One is we've been doing more live streaming, which has been really popular. And it's a good way to reach out to people. We've live streamed some of our meetings in the past and different functions, so we'd like to be able to continue to do that. Right now we're doing it all on the back of one of our employees and their personal equipment and data.
So we're reimbursing the employee for the data plan.
Okay. What we like to do this equips us to do it without using their personal equipment.
And are you, you're going to go ahead, are you going to subscribe to a streaming service or just use via Facebook and just pay the charges as you go and have your own thing?
Subscribing to a service is probably over my head.
There are private companies that do it, and you can pay monthly and stream as much as you want. Okay. Versus you stream as you, or you pay as you stream.
So the type of for live streaming on 414.
I missed that one. Sorry about that. Okay, yes.
So the next 6 hours. Yes. So it's my understanding that you continue to have existing platforms,
right.
Facebook, to stream a personal video in a higher capacity you want. But the research is better.
Great price at $80 a month. Okay, thank you.
I'm interested in the other advertising there, so that's new, the $4,000. But let me say this. I think that, that the outreach, public outreach that, that conservation has been doing has been phenomenal in the last couple of years, but specifically what we've seen this year. And I'd love to see us continue. As I look through this, it looks to me like this was typically a $6,000 item, kind of all those brochures and that stuff. We had been figuring out as she started to do more and more social media kind of stuff. You just kind of absorbed that, and now you're talking about putting the media. I still don't quite understand what the other advertiser. Where are we thinking we're going to reach out to with the $4,000?
Well, we'd like to be able to do more advertising, both as it says on radio. So we're thinking about paid advertising.
You're thinking KSI, correct?
Well, I'm not thinking about any one in particular. I'm just thinking that on radio, paid advertising, and that decision hasn't been made for which stations. But I'm just saying, what I'm suggesting here is some paid advertising for some of our events and functions that we have going on all in the effort to get more community engagement.
And my thought is I'm normally the one who's sitting here arguing for a print presence and a radio presence. I, however, think that we always need to look at doing a great analysis about what particular radio would suit our goal, the goal of it, and obviously that would rest with your communications person. Had you thought about on this $4,000, maybe paying about a couple hundred or $500 for a consultant to help you place, so that you are getting the best rather than duplicate reaching people who already maybe are on your website or already are aware of conservation or they pick up a brochure. And then my other question is expanding to the entire, you have 6,000 here, if I understand this correctly, four brochures. And it says the ISU Career Fair registration, but our brochure is in fact is popular, especially do you maybe want to shift your dollar mix here and look at a consultant? Or could I work with an ISU class in marketing?
Yeah,
about where those dollars go.
Yeah, and we have done some of that with ISU. We haven't specifically talked about any kind of consultant, although I'm not opposed to that. I think we need to look into that. I think that could come out of that $4,000.
Okay. I am hesitant about when you start talking about what audience you're marketing to that you don't end up marketing the thing on.
We're a little frustrated with the PSA and the news releases we do to get off the day of the event rather than the week before and things
right.
like that. So we figure if we can pay for some advertising, be much more effective and efficient.
Yeah, so here's my suggestion, and I don't know what it's for, but I am all in on the iPhone 8, the microphone, and whatever the heck a gimbal is, you know, to help you get your live streaming done. That's $1,040. And then in my mind, I lump the other three items together. You got $6,000 that has been our traditional marketing expenditure. You have $500 for the social media advertising, and you got $4,000 for other advertising. In my mind, I'm rolling all that together, saying let's make it a $9,000 line item, and you work with your communication staff to figure out exactly how the best use of that $9,000 is, how you're going to be able to reach the most people. So it's an increase in my mind of 50% of what last year's budget was, but you figure out what the best ways to reach out, what the best platforms to reach out, and we see where we are after a year.
I would agree with that. And Jim, I was just going to say, I'm probably on the other side from where Laura is and saying, there's a lot of free advertising you can get, but what I hear you saying is the free things don't necessarily get to the right audience at the right time.
Or at the right timing.
Right. But still, I'm for the free stuff. So.
We're not the only ones who are frustrated with that. NGOs. Express the same thing.
Okay, so 9,000 is a considerable increase from where you are.
So I'm taking that entire line item in my mind down to $10,040. It's down from $11,500.
I thought you were taking it down.
Yeah,
I pulled out the 1,040.
Yeah.
So 9,000 plus the 1,040 is what I'm suggesting. But that's more equipment in my mind.
I'm comfortable if I think Supervisor Sanders has made a good recommendation. I always kind of think about maybe trying to find an outside to help your communication. Okay.
Then the next significant piece of that is I will move down to our 440 account,
right? Grounds maintenance. That's quite an increase. Okay, doubled.
We got a number of projects in here that we'd like to bring forward. These are some of what I referenced in my prelude, which is the park improvement project and grounds repair project. First off, we've got some water hydrants at the campground at Dakin Lake that we have repeated problems with. They're impeding water flow, and so campers up there aren't getting pressure coming out of the hydrants to meet. And so this is replacing 12 of those for $2,000. There will be more that we will need to replace in the future, but we don't know that we can get more than 12 done right now. So this is just moving forward with the worst ones up there. The next item, McFarland shop, $12,000. We got some drainage concerns, some water flow concerns.
And with you clarify that. Is everybody on page 80 if you're looking at the narrative?
Yeah, this is actually, we're on 81.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Keep going through.
Okay. The $12,000.
I'm on 81.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Got it.
Frankly, when that building was built, it was not built at the correct ground elevation. It should have been that higher. And so as a result, we get every large rainfall, we get water that runs into the building. And so this is mitigating that. We've tried over the years smaller measures, burning up, doing a little bit of earthwork and burning, etc. And that's minimally effective. And so we'd like to address that appropriately here with them. We need to move a couple of utilities to make that happen. This also reflects some furniture needs, if you will, for that new position in the field. So it's another desk that we need to make in the office.
Part shop.
Where is that?
The McFarland Sharp Shop.
It is a part shop. Okay.
That was Hickory Grove. There's a lot of items here, so maybe I'll move faster and slow me down if you need to. Hickory Grove, replace some docks there as part of our restoration project, renovation of and that's represented here with the $24,000. Jeanette Erickson here. This is installing a parking lot off of S-14 to get better access to that wildlife area. There's no parking lot right there now. People park at a field drive and very precariously park in a bad spot when they access the road. McArthur Park Connected Dock, $17,000. Our dock is that we've had there for years is in need of replacement. So that's what this is, a replacement of the existing dock with a new one. West Peterson, we got three items at West Peterson. A number of years ago, the Conservation Board talked about doing an adopt-a-park, not adopt-a-park, a park of the year program. And so we kind of focus a lot of efforts on a particular park at any given year and make some improvements there, do some more public engagement in that park, some more programs, et cetera. The next one in line is Peterson, West Peterson Park, and we're really, because we're putting more resources into Hickory right now, not at the point where we want to say West Peterson is our park of the year. However, these are some needs that we just know over the years we need to address at that park. I think you're probably all aware of the reputation that park has and has had for decades. We're making significant improvements in that regard. These measures will help us to make some more improvements. One is to replace an existing dock. Two is to slow traffic down and to keep traffic from going off-road, if you will, to help try to keep them from going off-road through the prairie that we have there, which is a reoccurring problem. So those are the three things there. Parking lot reduction. That big parking lot is ill-defined. It is just a magnet for inappropriate activity. And what we want to do here is better define that so we can have more effective parking and get rid of some of the inappropriate activity that happens out there.
Church to north of that, that's the south of the road, is church to the north.
That's one mile north, so that's on 170. That's on 170. Is that your thing?
Okay.
So this is right from the conservation center across the bridge.
Yeah, we wish we had that parking lot for the church, if we would be having some.
Right. Right. Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right.
No. Okay.
Exactly. So frankly, we want to make that parking lot a little smaller and a little more organized. That's West Peterson Park. Dayton's like adding a beach right now. So when we built this, when we built that park, we're trying to make conscious decisions for how we spend our money. We ended up with a ramp that is aggregate material, crushed limestone material, which we repeatedly wash out.
Switchback trail though.
And so this addresses that. Replace that aggregate with concrete.
Is there a possibility to use the porous material that we're using out at Hill?
Absolutely.
Something like this?
Okay.
And I'm not trying to I like that idea.
Okay. Yep, absolutely.
Have to look at cost.
Yeah.
It's
not
cheap.
What's that?
It's not cheap.
We've been happy with the cost, though, out there at the desk.
Yeah, I think you know, I have to take a look at it, but certainly an option we'll look at. Prairie Rail Trail, what we'd like to do there, and Loris was with me at a meeting with the Colesburg City Council a few months ago. I can't remember when. What we'd like to do is replace some of the turf that we mow there with a native mix. So we'd like to plant some prairie along the bottom or some portion of what we currently mow, the bottom ditch. So south of the road, north of the trail, familiar from Colesburg. That's historically a low area. It's hard for us to get equipment in there without tearing up the turf and maintenance mess, frankly. And one, so this makes it look better, I think, and number two, it
give the veteran advantage to the Prairie Rail Trail. We want to show you things when there are people are trying to make a call for it, get their attention, and they connect it to the trail.
Well, and so $2,000 for the fee, is there the other $8,000 somewhere else for other trails?
That's
for the separate
project.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
So this is just to put stuff, just to put the prairie there. And we want, I guess we intend to go back to the city council again to have this discussion before we move to it.
Thank you. I did receive communication from a woman in the Colesburg who has a disabled child, son, all right, an adult, who has a special walker, wheelchair type thing, and she takes her son walking when she can on, but of course wants the trail paved. I did give her all of the news, but just to let you know that those citizens continue to watch for that. And she made a good point about grass is not accessible, ADA accessible, right? Okay, thank you.
Let's see, replacements. So we've got some money in here, $4,500 for replacing some of our entrance signs that are just a regular thing that we have to do occasionally to replace the sign. Some of them really need to be updated, so this accomplishes that. Then we moved into a few items here at Hickory Grove. Many of these are associated, in fact, all of these are associated with the restoration work, the renovation work that we're doing out there. These are on our end, on our responsibility, and have a number of benefits. One is courtesy, so it's the same philosophy that we just talked about with the Prairie Rail Trail, but this would be some native grass seed, native prairie seeding between the campground and the trail, so between the campground and the lake, essentially, and that reduces our, frankly, reduces our mowing need, and will contract at the same time and helps hold that soil in place better. Solid wind solution on there. Placing sand at the beach is another item. We need to do it. And there's a number of reasons. We talked about this for a while, and now is the time to do it. Number one, that sand can tend to harbor coli, and we know that we have an E. coli problem there, so while we have the lake gone down, let's get that done. Mulch for playground, that's a recurring item that we have to do every few years to stay compliant with our playground fall zone material. Rock for beach parking area. That's, again, kind of a routine item there that we need to do. It's been a while since we've added any more parking lot material there. Next is some injections for some of the bur oaks out there that want to keep around longer to combat bur oak blight. Next is some aggregate material for and the trail around the lake.
So of these total expenses under this ground maintenance category, with it being double what it has been and what the 3-year average is, most of these then will not need to be repeated on an annual basis? Am I correct? I'm getting nods. So for the
most of them, no, but I have gone through, I can't tell you exactly X percentage.
Probably the same thing as previous year.
Well,
right,
for the
April,
we could go back to
86. Well, I've got a proposal I'd like to hear what you guys' thoughts on. That is that everything related to Hickory Grove, which I add up, that is just over 50,000. I mean, in my mind, it's all part of the work we're putting into Hickory Grove. And what I want to know is, wouldn't that be an appropriate place to use $50,000 from our Friends of Conservation account to get that done. So I feel like the county is fully vested and fully participating in that. I know you guys met us halfway with the overage that we had there, but I look at these items, not the rest of them that I see as normal operational kind of maintenance. I look at the Hickory Grove items specifically, and I say those are all based on this big project that we're doing. In some way or another, there's based on that. And I am hopeful that you guys would be willing to use some of that Friends of Conservation reserve that we see there. And like I said, I've got it added up to the tune of about $50,000 of this request. So I'd like to just get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so on those Hickory Grove items, if we look at the ones that are linked to the restoration, specifically the restoration, we're looking at the $24,000 for the fish cleaning station. We're looking at perhaps the prairie planting by the campground at $3,000.
Yep.
We're looking at sand at the beach for $3,500.
Yep.
And then we're looking at material for the trail system at $9,000. Those would be the ones I would say would be part of the restoration work. The other items in there, mulch for playground, those are just that needs to happen every few years.
Okay.
Rockets, parking lot, etc. And then injections to combat burrow blight.
Yeah, I can see where that would be an ongoing kind of thing. But what about replacement trees? I view that as part of this overall project.
Yeah, we've got to replace the trees. This is some of our trees, oaks that are some of our hazard boundaries, like to provide camping. We want to try to prolong them. We get several more.
That's the injections, and I'm with you. I'm wondering about up above that is replacement trees at Hickory Grove for $2,500, and I'm suggesting that that's part of the project as well, like with everything else.
Yeah, so this was part of our Emerald Ash War program.
Right.
That's what this replacement was. And I'd say for the last 3 years, we've been budgeting some money to annually replace trees that we lost or anticipated to lose due to Emerald Ash War.
Mike, could you repeat?
So that is what this is.
Could you repeat the one that you said you got for
part of the restoration?
Yeah.
So it would be, yeah, okay,
$24,000 would be number three,
$24,000. It would be number,
is it number four?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
So the fish cleaning station is $24,000. It is prairie seeding, community grazing trail at $3,000. It is sands for the beach at $3,500, and material for the expanded trail system at $9,000.
Yeah.
Those are the one-time expenses. Right. So what we expect reasonably would be the one-time expense.
So can we do that out of Friends? $40,000 out of Friends of Conservation?
Yes, we can.
That would still leave us an increase in the budget here by $143 minus 8. So it's an increase.
It is.
Yeah.
And I don't think that those conversations that we just had, Linda, actually decreases this line item. I think what we're doing is we're increasing our revenue from $20,000 to $60,000. Out of Friends, I think, unless we're looking at this a different way. Yeah. So really what we're hitting the revenue side, but we're still keeping these expenses.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on
4:00,
just wanted to point that out. Okay. We are getting to the end a little bit here. If we could probably keep going, Mike.
Okay, so I guess the next would be the residences.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on those repairs to the residences?
I don't know what they are.
But that's on 441.
It's for the 331.
The two successful property.
They're the most expensive three houses.
Yeah. University buildings, major repairs.
Yeah.
I have no questions about the work that needs to be done or any of these expenses. That $59,000 compared to the fact that we're re-estimating $77,000 for this year. We've got $68,000 a year on an average. I mean, everything seems fine.
We're going to pull it. So I'm skipping now. I'm going down to contract labor. We'll pull the $75,000 out. Which is going to be part of this entire watershed conversation that we're having that Laura says is going in countywide.
Right.
Can I say something about that particular one? I think that we've got 25,000 in there that came from the landowners, and I think that's really significant. In saying we're not waiting for the state, we're not waiting for the feds, we want to do what we can. Small amount of money, but it will help individual landowners do the right things on their land. And that's the kind of, we haven't fleshed that all out yet, what that might involve, but it might involve some buffer strips, it might involve some tile bending in saturated buffers. But it's not a big amount of money, but it says we care about this.
And this is
kind of neat.
25 re-estimate that's still under there for, I mean, where are we now?
Like, this is 75,000.
Oh, is this 75,000? Okay, I got it. All right, thank you. Okay.
And then the other item, the other specific item that I would like to see us talk about, with my apologies, is I don't believe that this is the year to do a feasibility study on expansions at McFarland. I think we've got so many balls in the air right now, both in conservation and countywide, that I would suggest we hold off for a year, because I can't see when we're going to be able to truly do an expansion, and if we do it too soon, the study's not going to be worth a lot to us.
We are, and I guess it's we're trying to look down the road with future needs for the conservation department program. And with that, we're looking at different funding options.
Okay.
And so this is one of those things that helps us to identify what those funding options are, if you will.
But
to be quite frank, we have discussed local funding measures.
Yes.
And
local.
He's talking about bond issue.
To do what? And when this gives us more information in how we develop our package, we would go forward. That's what the intent here.
I want to clarify here, you can't issue bonds.
Understood.
Okay. So I just want to put out that conversation. We'll come back here.
Of course.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Jim, can I go back to your comment about $25,000 for best practices? Don't a lot of agencies have money for that?
It's amazing how lots of funding. Many landowners will not refer to those with paperwork. Many landowners would much rather work on the local level with a local agency. And some of these things are not eligible for federal funding through the Farm Bill. It all depends what the Farm Bill has. So there's just so many gifts. And this just says on the local level that in Story County, for some of these watersheds, we have a little bit of money available to help landowners do some of these practices.
Which is even more easier.
If it's easier than the federal programs, people will flock to that. And then there will be pressure to increase it.
Well, I think
it is when there's other funding available to put it on the county. Well, all the things that we've got going on, I would question it.
Well, it has lost a major source of funding for these kind of issues when IDOLS decided to pull this opportune landowner payments from the program that Prairie Rivers runs at Squaw Creek. And conversation of what, if any, role the county is going to take in these kind of things. And I, that's why we're pulling the 75 out and putting it under countywide for us to have that full conversation.
I was thinking that Jim was asking to leave the 25. And
I think he was underscoring how important.
I'm just saying that's how important. Yeah. And if you look at this countywide matrix, particularly the watershed and the implementation matrix, many of the things are kind of requires money.
Yeah.
We're not going to do this for free. Can't be done. And I would say that as the state and advocate responsibility, you're absolutely right. I think there will be more than that because they are having to be responsible.
Let's not let the federal and the state funds here. The federal funds are still there. Let's not let those go.
It depends on the farm bill. I haven't read it all yet. But
yeah.
There are certain states, particularly conservation funding, really got increased.
It's
an
increase.
And that's something we can delve into later.
And I think the intent here, I agree, we can delve into it later on time. But I think the intent here is not to necessarily take the place of other available funds, but to augment funds to leverage those funds to increase more implementation on
So I would suggest we come back with the start of the conversation on the feasibility study and then on. So this would be our first callback that we would have.
Because I'm not done. I have a couple items that I want taken out and paid for by partners. Are you saying we just end it
we're
now?
We're done now. I'm saying we're done now and we do a callback, but we've got more conversation that we need to have here. And all I'm suggesting is that conversation, if we were to have it later, would start with the $30,000 feasibility study and more clarification of.
Right.
I think I understand exactly what you're talking about. I just think we're going to have a lot more conversation.
I agree with that. I'll just give you the heads up on the David Blake Playground and the playground equipment from McFarland. So that was on the topic. Thank you.
So,
yeah, so we'll set a call back, and when would that call back be? I know, poor Lisa has really...
I'm
just wondering,
what does that sound like to you guys? Yeah.
Well,
I'm
going to
leave last day.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
we got to.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll work out of her.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I heard rumor of that she was at a party. I haven't seen anything. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Back to the 25th. Now, it's a Friday.
25th is a Friday afternoon. The other choice, and that's probably not our calendar right in front of you necessarily. You guys leave. 15,
tomorrow's 15th. And Wednesday and Thursday, I'm at the ISAC training.
Wednesday and Thursday, your ISAC training. Friday, we come back.
Yeah.
We have budgets again.
Yeah. We all, yeah.
What do we have on Thursday, the 24th, in the morning?
Laura's going to get that. Serve the message.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then the CICS meeting over on the 24th. From 1 to 3 or
something. Oh, that's when I'm in specific time.
Okay. So I know they've heard of meetings and then I'm coming back here for community services.
What time is your party on the 25th?
It's on the 22nd.
It's on the 22nd and it goes from 2 to 5.
Yeah, so I would suggest that we look at the 25th like at 11 in the morning. And just kind of keep
going. Question on the 25th, though, is that that's where we're going to be discussing the economic development. Now, I know part of that philosophy, the discussion about, I think we need to have is what are we going to do about, like, the suggestion of the grants to help match funding even for the state, et cetera. So I'm thinking we're kind of time-wise, I'm wondering if we're going to have enough time that we're starting. Because if not the 25th, then at least I have to go to speak to leadership. That's why we need everything up. You know, auditor started at 8:30 and said, so I don't have the time.
In a minute.
Oh, sorry. races. I can't remember this one. Oh, and the 24th in the morning, I heard of, so then we moved the
first one in the afternoon.
That's your 3:15.
Yeah, 3:15.
Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
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 And we can move yours.
Yeah. So how about Monday morning, the 28th at 9 a.m., and then we do our review options as soon as we're done with this callback?
Yeah.
That's a good
and
idea.
That's assuming we're not going to have any other callbacks.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
9 a.m.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Again, adjourned.
Thank you.
A little knuckle there.